Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
This overwhelming sense of His love and His mercy and His compassion for you and for me. If we don't, let me introduce you to that side of Jesus. Somewhere along the lines, someone may have introduced you to a different version of who Jesus is. Can I tell you, the one Jesus displayed is this amazing, compassionate, all-knowing. He knows us on our worst day, and that's when He rushes the fastest to us. On our worst day, He comes running after us. Not our best day to say, hey, good job, because I'm never that good. I'm serious. Outside of His grace, His love, and His compassion, I am nothing. You know, some of you that are old enough to remember those old hymns that talk about I am nothing and He is everything. How great Thou art. Yes. Yeah, He is, and we're not. But in Him, I am become strong. In my weakness, the Word says, I am made strong in Him. Isn't that awesome? That's great news. It isn't about me. Can I give you the best news of the day? Two things. Jesus loves you, and it's not about you. It's all about Him. It's His goodness, His mercy. It ain't about how good my sin is. It's about how great He is, His grace and His mercy. It's amazing. Newton wrote the song, Amazing Grace, about the one song I'm kind of jealous of that he got to write. But I'm glad somebody penned the words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. He wasn't overstating in his self-description. He knew who he was. He knew exactly what he had done. And he comes before God and he just trusts, look, if I continue to make it about my wretchedness, I'll never know you well. But if I continue to write, how great thou art, and make this about you. He didn't call it how wretched I am. Did you get that? He didn't write how wretched I am. He wrote how great thou art. And today I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to take us into this one more time. And if you're able to stand, that's great. If you're not, that's okay too. But just get alone with God. It's what Pastor Mike was talking about. God, show us your love. Show us your mercy. In fact, just bathe us in your presence today. Bathe us in your presence today. Oh, how he loves us.
Oh,
yes, he does. It ought to make you giddy. It just ought to get somewhere in you. Really. It just ought to get inside you. The Spirit of the living God just comes inside of you in the presence of worship. It just is overwhelming, the presence of worship. Why? Because you are so making it all about you. The Creator of the stars just blows another star into existence and names it. The Creator never stopped creating. There he goes again. He blows another star into existence. Oh, wait a minute. Another baby's just been born. St. Luke's Hospital. Oh, 10 babies just been born. St. John's Mercy. Oh, another 5 babies been born over at St. Luke's. I'm going back and forth. St. Anthony. Oh, God just created a beautiful child. Wait a minute, he hasn't stopped creating, right? That's the mercy of God. He's here. I'll make you like me. Created us in his image to do what? Be creative. Woo! Man, aren't you glad you married the girl you married? Y'all can create something pretty. I didn't ask the ladies if they're glad they married you, though. I didn't ask that, see. Because we got the better, how many guys know we got the better end of the deal? I said, how many guys know we got the better end of the deal? We sure do. We got the better end of the deal. You got a double portion. Hey, listen, I want you to do something. God created every human being around you, every person, and He appointed this day, didn't He, Rod? He appointed this day for you to be here, for me to be here, for us to be here. This gathering will never take place until Jesus comes again, just like this. So I want you to do this. There's some very precious people in this room, and I know many are away on Memorial Day weekend, and we honor the fallen, those fallen soldiers, men and women, young boys and young girls all around the world. In fact, they're still buried or lost at sea. We honor them today, Memorial Day, because they fought and gave a life for a great nation. For those who have fallen, but also for our family members that have gone on to be with the Lord, we just honor those memories today. I'm just saying. Y'all love the Word of God? Okay, well, before I go into this, make sure you do put that piece of paper in the offering. Pastor Mike Alexander is going to come in just a little bit. If you don't know me very well, I love to have fun. I was about to say, we'll be done in about an hour and a half. I'm not going to do that to you. Jamie, how you feeling, sweetie? Welcome back. We love you being home. We love Jamie. We love Jamie. Yeah, Jamie, she's our hero. We claimed her a long time ago. So, do y'all love the Word of God? Amen. Beth, did you turn me off? Okay, I just want to make sure. She got the magic buttons. You can pull that back down. Because I'm about to start here. But Beth's got the magic buttons. She always, if I'm starting to get on something, she just kind of slides it on down. And that gets my attention. She knows it. It's better than the tase option. She was wanting to put a tase option on the back of this earpiece. Not in favor of that. I would be doing that all the time. Don't you love God's Word? Amen. I'm serious. Don't you love God's Word? Amen. Yeah, we're talking. Who is God's Word? Jesus. The Word made flesh. That's what God's Word says. Can you believe it? It's the Word made flesh. So when you say, I love God's Word, you're really saying, I love Jesus. I love who? Okay. I love little voices shouting Jesus too. That is awesome. Oh, don't ever stop there. Oh, I love that. I love it when the kids are shouting Jesus, man. There's other things they could shout. And I've heard them all. I went to Riverview Gardens through 10th grade. If you don't know that, what that means, just ask a St. Louis native what that means and they'll tell you. Well, welcome to SCRC. We're going to get into today's message. It's also part of our core values. I'll just tell you, I know Pastor Carl wrapped it up last week, but I wanted to bring this one. I have taught it for 18 years. It is just simply about how important is the Bible to your everyday life. In other words, do you have a biblical focus in your life? Do you take life's approach with a biblical approach? Or do you take it with that idea that a lot of people have? The world has this idea that people who thump on this are what? Very judgmental people. And why is that? Because history has shown we have been very judgmental people. I was just talking earlier before the service how I was banned years ago in the 60s. We go with culture. You know, culture goes in and out. Short dresses, long dresses, short sleeve, no sleeve, short hair, long hair, beards. Do you know, back when my dad played for the Bethelaires, the group that Southern Gospel group I sang with for years, he had to shave his beard off to play in churches. You see, culture plays with us, but God's Word never changes. It is the same yesterday. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And from the beginning, the enemy has always challenged one of two things. Either God's right to tell you what to do, Or he's challenged, did he really mean what he said? How many know when in Genesis chapter 3, after God created man and woman in his own image, and he told them to go out, be fruitful and multiply, he gave them everything they would ever need. Just don't touch this one tree. Stay away from that. And I had someone ask me not long ago, does that represent, and it was just, you can get into examining a lot of things, and those are fun things to examine. What does it represent? But what it represented in large was God's way or man's way. I mean, it was the first time with man that God laid down a... Ron, how you doing, buddy? Love you, man. Glad you're here. It's the first time in history, early history of man, that God laid down this, it's my way or it's your way. One of the two. And you can have all of this if you do it my way. But if you do it your way, you'll surely die. I don't know where the bargain's at. I mean, I don't know where the question's at about where the bargain's. I really don't. I don't understand the question. But somewhere along the line, man chose knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge. Because that's what the enemy told. Remember? He told Eve, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have knowledge like God. You're going to have Google. It was her... You think that's an accident that Apple has a bit into? It's knowledge. It's knowledge. They know exactly what they knew what they were doing when they put the bit, the apple that was bitten. They knew that. It was kind of what it is, what it is. It's the pursuit of knowledge. And we take a big bite right into Google, you know? There's nothing you can't find on Google. And you see, that's what, by the way, what the enemy brought to Eve was true. He doesn't blatantly lie. What he does is challenges with levels of truth. Do you remember when Satan tempted Jesus in the desert? Do you remember when he was being tempted? He was saying things that he was quoting the Word. He was actually using the Word. And Jesus, three times, had to rebuke him with the authority of the Word. You see, there's one thing to be able to quote the Bible. It's another thing to actually be able to use the authority, the Spirit of the living God. You breathe with authority the Word of God. The Word of God should have a masterful, amazing, important place, priority in our lives. And I can tell you, sometimes put in the wrong hands, it's dangerous. I'll give you a couple examples. I've had people through the years call me up because they love to argue doctrine. Doctrine. Pastor Harvey and I, we love going to lunch and laughing at ourselves. Really, we're not laughing at anybody. We just love to laugh at where we came from. And he tells me about his early days and he says, don't ever do that. I love this guy. He's so stinking transparent and real about his life's journey. That's the white-haired man that speaks into a younger man. By the way, don't tell me, I know it's getting whiter too. I'm just saying. Younger, I said. But there's this opportunity that we have of discovery and it's found in God's Word, but in the wrong hands, it can be dangerous. Now listen to me, I want you to listen closely. This is not what we teach. This is certainly not what God's Word teaches. And we so rebuke anyone or any teaching similar to this. But when I was in fourth or fifth grade, I was taught by an Assembly of God Sunday school that dating interracially and marrying interracially was sin. And the Bible says so. That's what I was taught. I was taught that my hair was sinful. And ladies, if you're wearing slacks today, I was taught y'all are wearing men's apparel. That's sin. And we looked at those who would dare. I was in an Assembly of God church one time, and I'm sorry, is this on being recorded? This goes to Springfield. Doug, I love you. Doug Clay, the new general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. I love you, bud. I sent my vote for you. So anyway. I was in the Assembly of God church in southern Missouri, and a lady walks in on a Sunday morning. She looks so pretty. I was just a kid. And I remember she looked pretty. I remember the pantsuit she had on was pretty. The pastor says to her, "Ma'am, we're so glad that you're here. We're just excited that you're here. Next time, if you'll just wear the correct apparel for a lady, we'd love to have you come back. But if you'll wear a dress next time, that's what we believe is right for a woman to wear." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, how he loves my soul." I heard it. I'm not making this stuff up. And you know the whole story. I won't go into it about I was not allowed. Karen remembers these days. I was not allowed on the Assembly of God campground because my hair was too long. I was sinful. You see, if you put the word in the wrong hands and they get that. We used to go in when I was singing with the Bethelaires. There was a church that we would always go to. And the Sunday school teacher always started out like this. "Well, the way I see it." And I'd be like, you know, the way he started, my wife heard it. Other wives of the group that members that were with us heard this Sunday school teacher every Sunday that we played there for every Memorial Day weekend for the 13 years I sang with this group. And every Sunday morning, dude, that Sunday morning, that Sunday school started off with, "Well, now the way I see it." Now he started picking on women in bikinis on one occasion. And you know the scripture that talks about that you talk about the speck in another person's eye, and you got a honking tree stump coming out your own. Yeah, this dude had Skull in his back pocket, had a pack of Cool here. I by the way, I don't pick on smokers. That's not what I do. But I'm like, do you know, dude, you got more going on right now? There's not a woman in here that's wearing a bikini, but dude, you got the cigarettes and the Skull. And a mean attitude, by the way. Kind of, because he's mad at that girl that put that bikini on. He's mad at her. The way I see it, you know, I mean, I heard that all my life in different churches, because I was in a lot of different churches with the group. But I have to tell you, there is nothing more important than the way God sees it. That is the issue. Now, I want you to turn quickly. We do as Christians, we tend to name the top 10 sin. We want to use the Bible. I had another guy, by the way, another example of it. A guy called me up one time. He said, "Where's that scripture on the rapture of the church? Pre-trib rapture." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I got a guy that's sitting here arguing that it's post-trib. It's a post-trib rapture." And I said, "Does he believe in Jesus?" He said, "Oh yeah." I said, "Then leave him alone. Why would you want to argue doctrine? The dude knows Christ. Leave him alone." This is what Jesus said to his disciples. "It's not for you to know the day nor the hour," in Acts chapter 1. "It's not for you to know the date or the seasons of the Son of Man." Even Jesus said he didn't know. Only the Father knows. So doctrine, let me just say this before I get any further. We could study this for argumentative purposes, or we could study it for what it tells us we're really supposed to study it, for the knowledge of who God is. You see, it's about learning who God is, not what the top 10 rules are. By the way, I love, throughout my life, I've heard Romans chapter 1 all about, you know, on and on. And Pastor Harvey knows. I'm going to read Romans chapter 1 to you, most of it anyway. I'm going to read half of it. And if you don't have it back there, Romans chapter 1 NIV, and I'm going to start at the 18th chapter. Then I'm going to get into the scripture that I gave y'all. It says, the wrath of God, we love to pick out sin. And we find it in the Bible, and we show, well, you can't do that or you won't go to heaven. Listen to the list. Listen to the list. We forget that we do these things too. I mean, listen to the list here. It's not just about immoral sexual behavior. Really, it isn't just about that. But we sure want to name that in the top 5. Immoral sexual behavior. Those people won't inherit the kingdom of God. That's true, but liars won't either. People who spread bad rumor about others won't either. Outside of Jesus. Forgiveness and mercy and grace. Listen to this. Chapter 1, Romans, verse 18. I'll just read. The wrath of God is being revealed. By the way, Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. And it says that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since What may be known about God is plain to them. Listen to this. Did you hear that? Since what may be known about God is plain to them. They know truth. This is what, Paul's not talking about people who weren't raised in church. This is a part of that. But he's talking about people who actually know the truth. We don't want to pick that up in church. We really don't want to. We would rather talk about them out there as though they're the enemy. They're not the enemy. They just need Jesus. It says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, did you hear that? For although they knew God, we're not talking about heathen here, but we sure want to use this scripture to talk about heathen. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their futile thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. They exchanged the presence of God for idols. By the way, it could come in the form of a new Corvette. If you just got a new Corvette, I'm not picking on you. I promise you. It could come in the form of, really, of a new computer, because that is your world. It could come in those forms, what we prioritize before God. By the way, isn't he the God that said, I'll have no other God before me? Goes on to say, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. These are people who know the truth, by the way. Remember, therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped. In other words, they bit the apple. We've bitten into our own apple. It says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and created, listen to this, they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. How many know about Mother Earth? Worshiping Mother Earth. Worshiping the heavens, the stars, the galaxies, what they say to us. People that read the horoscopes. They let those horoscopes guide their life instead of the guiding light of eternity. It goes on to say, because of this, in verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men who abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed, now everybody wants to land on that one. I was always raised with people stopping on that one to prove a point. The way I see it, people want to go to that scripture to condemn people because of sin. Sin is sin. There's no level of sin. There is no such thing as top 10 sin. It's either God's way or it's my way. It's really simple. It goes on to say, men committed indecent acts with one another and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, in other words, they had it. Remember, they had it. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. How many times, remind me to pick up verse 20. How many times have you sat and listened to someone on TV trying to defend an immoral point? And honestly, they're not lying. They really believe it to be true. They're not. How many times have you said, can't you see? It's what God says. They're not lying. They really believe in their heart. You see, God gives you over. He will give you over to the thing. It's not the will of God, but it is the way of God. He'll give us over, and we will actually begin to believe our own lies. It goes on to say, verse 29, they had become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy. Now we're getting into something other than sexual immorality here. They are full of envy. Wow. Murder. You know, the Bible says when you speak badly about someone, you are murdering them. Did you know that? God's word says that. If we speak ill of someone, we are slaying that person's reputation. We are gathering those around us for their opinion to take them under, so that others will have less respect for them, and we are slaying that person's dignity. Deceit, malice. It goes on to say they are gossips. Oh my goodness. Isn't that what the church is known for? You mean gossip is like sexual immorality? Yeah. It's sin. It's just called sin. It's called my way and not God's way. Now listen, this isn't the message, by the way. Well, I'm getting into why the Bible is the amazing, important part of your life. Here you go. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. Oh, sounds like a lot of pastors' meetings I've been in. I'm picking on me. They invent ways of doing evil. They get creative. When we think everything's been done, they find a new way to sin. That's what it says. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And although they know God's righteous decree, and those who do such things deserve death. That's what Paul wrote. For the wages of sin is death. It's God's law. Except if you're covered by His blood, covered by His blood, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who do them. Now, what is the answer to that? Flipping your Bibles over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, it's a charge to Timothy that Paul writes. Now, he's writing actually to Timothy, just so you know. So we've changed targets, but same writer. He goes, though you, however, all about my teaching, the way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, and what kinds of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecution I have endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone of you who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Wow, that's great news. I had somebody say this to me this week. If God really loved me, why is He letting me go through all of this? Have you read the Bible? Have you talked with Job lately? I'm just curious. Have you talked with Job lately? This righteous man who's been through everything, lost his family, lost his possessions, lost his health, all because the enemy said, have you noticed that guy? I can get him to curse your name. No, you can't. Well, take your hand off me. I'll go at him, and I'll get him to curse your name. He said, you can take everything but his life. And he did. Read the end of the book. I won't tell you the whole story. It's a great book. It's a great book, but it ain't for the weak of heart. Listen to in verse 12, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. For you, continue to live in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it and have known it from infancy. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to, listen to this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is the authority of God that gives the instruction. Now, most that still struggle with this still struggle with the idea of who's in charge. Can I tell you, that's basically the biggest problem that man has to deal with. It's not what does the Bible say. Because how many have ever had the Bible misquoted to you? Money is the root of all evil. I mean, people really think they know the word, and they read it just enough to be dangerous. It's not what God's word says. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of something that's wrong and not God. It's the root of all evil. But listen to me. I won't take much longer, but this is the foundation of St. Charles River Church. Everything we teach from this platform must be rooted in God's Word. Because just the same as Eve in the beginning, Adam and Eve had to decide who was in charge, every one of us have to decide who is in charge of my life. Now, God gives us the charge of taking the responsibility to make the decision. But once we make the decision, either God's in charge, and this is just how I feel about it and how I've settled it in my spirit. I kind of look at this way. The one who just gave me my next breath, the one who just is about to give me my next breath, please God, that creator who created me is in charge, not the created. Oh, there's got to be more than three of you that believe that. You mean your teenagers walk up to you and say, I'm going to tell you how to be in this house. I mean, get the picture. The created one. Hey, Mom, give me the keys. I don't care what you say. Give me the keys. I want a new Cadillac. I need you to get me. Well, in this case, it would be probably a Mercedes because you'd look cute in a Mercedes. Mom, I want a new Mercedes because the created's telling the creator, you get the picture? That little one in front of you, he's the created one or she's the created one. And I love when they stand there and it's cute. We love when children stand there. I want that now. And by the way, my little granddaughter already has the whole. She's sassy. And there's a part, I have to believe there's a part, because I just go, oh, you are so cute. And you know what? I created her creator. Gina and I, we created her creator. I love that. I'm a grandpa creator. But I'm in charge of that which God's given me responsibility for. I'm in charge. But can I tell you what? When it comes time to telling me what is right and what is wrong, that there is actually a good and there is actually an evil, there is a creator who has, it isn't a thing of God, you've earned my respect. I don't have the nerve to tell God he's earned something. He's God. Just by the fact that he's the creator, he's in charge. And what he says, get this. He just said, if you follow my instruction, you'll live. If you follow my instruction, Eve, you will surely never die. That's the creator. Don't you? Oh, you're good parents. Didn't you tell your children, don't drive 100 miles an hour down Highway K, because Rick will follow you. I can't imagine that you, as good parents, didn't try and give life-saving rules for your children. And we'll call them rules or guidelines, whatever. My father-in-law used to say, when I was dating Gina, there is nothing moral or legal that happens after midnight. You don't need to have her out after that. How come y'all didn't believe that when you was our age any more than I did? Huh? Well, because see, there's a grand perspective. Remember the message I did a couple weeks ago called the grander vision? When you become the creator of someone, in other words, a parent, don't you tend to have a grander vision about what's safe and right for them? Sure you do. Even to the point you have them in church regularly. Not because church saves them, but because there's this kingdom family that we want to do this with. That's their second and third voices that reaffirm mom and dad are right. Had a little girl come, I'll wrap it up with this story. Had a little girl come to us, one of our youth members, years ago, several years ago. Gina and I were out at her anniversary of her, I don't know, it was the 20th reunion of her high school class. And we got a phone call that one of our little girls, one of our young ladies in church, had confessed that she and another young man were planning a rendezvous Thursday night when both parents were out of town. This little girl, she might have been 16 or 17. They were planning a rendezvous at one of their houses, and she couldn't live with the guilt of knowing that this was, she knew it was wrong. Why? Because she had two parents that raised her. That there's a standard. You see, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Some of them grow up older and faster than others. This little girl got to old quickly. She couldn't run from it. What's the picture of that? They can't run from it. You'll not depart from it. Why? Because it runs faster than you. How do you know that? Because the Bible says goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And goodness and mercy keep chasing you wherever you go. His goodness and his mercy stinking love you, and they encamp you. He goes before you. He comes after you. He takes your sides, and he encamps around your children when you have spoken the word of God into them, Deuteronomy 6. And you've actually spoken the word of God into them. And now there's this standard that's set in this 16 or 17-year-old little girl. By the way, it was there for the little boy too. But this is my opening of my marriage. All marriage counseling or classes start this way. Repeat after me, guys are idiots. I'm sorry. We can be. We've got an idiot chromosome. We're one shy of you ladies. This little girl had a standard, and she couldn't live with what she was about to do. I was so thankful, one, that she had parents that spoke into her a standard. Don't listen. They're listening to you. They're listening to you. It's not a matter of preaching to them. It's modeling it ourselves, being Jesus with skin on, and getting into the Word. And regularly, my dad used to, every night, we would read the Word of God in our home. We did not go to bed before we read God's Word. We laid down, Deuteronomy 6, when we laid our heads down, and at 4 o'clock the next morning, I heard my dad praying up through the air vents and calling out on God right below. I was a two-story house. My bedroom was right above the living room, and I would hear him calling out on God, weeping before God, because he was in his Bible downstairs and calling out on God for his family. There's a standard. Well, this little girl shared it with one of our youth ministers, and the youth minister shared it with the youth pastor. They called me and said, what do we do? I said, this is something a parent needs to know. We have never guaranteed total. Listen, this is our policy here. This is our policy. Just, I want you parents to know this. We've never guaranteed total confidentiality if it has to do with the safety of your child or the future of your child. That's not our risk. We don't have that right. And so what I said was go back and ask the little girl if she would be willing to share it with her mom. And let's let them have a mom-daughter moment where honesty comes out and mom can deal with it in the right way. Can I tell you how that came out? It was a beautiful moment until the mother heard what, because the daughter did want to go to her mother. She did go to her mother. She shared that she had those plans. And that mother called us and rebuked us for not just handling it. Can I tell you? We're going to handle it the same way. Anytime in the future, your children's future is on the line. We're going to handle it the same way. Because God's Word says, see, there's a pattern. There's a standard here. God's Word says, Deuteronomy 6, God's Word says the family is responsible. Parents, you're responsible. And I've had people pull up, drop kids off at the end of the colonnade out there, and this is what they call and say, you teach our children the Bible. It's your responsibility to teach them. You are responsible to teach them the Bible. We want them to grow up knowing the Bible as they drive off and go shopping at Walmart. Mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa, if you're raising children, let me tell you, this is the age now where grandparents are back into raising kids. Listen to me. We are each responsible to get the Word of God, not only in us, but in our next generation and in the generation to follow. Mom and Dad, it's not the church's responsibility alone. We got them for 45 minutes back there. You have them for the other 172 hours or something like that. You have them at home the rest of the time. Mom and Dad, the Word of God needs to be the most important because He, Jesus, is the priority. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, we simply say, Lord, fill us with your word. But it doesn't just happen magically. It happens because we have a priority and a standard that Christ matters in our home. That we want to speak into our children the word of God, which is the word of life. It's teaching them how to live life in a way that not only will bring them happiness and success here on earth, but it produces life in the eternal. And I'm asking you, Father, you will awaken us as a church family to getting back into reading your word, getting into knowing who you are, not just about reading the Bible for doctrinal purposes or reading the Bible so that we can argue a doctrine or a viewpoint or prove a viewpoint, but get into your word so that we can learn you more. And we can teach our children just how much you really love us. And there is a standard, and it's a righteous standard set by you, the one that's in charge. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a huge hand. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.